All right.
You didn't think that was funny, that liquor store picture?
I thought it was all right.
I thought it was kind of funny.
I didn't think it was. It didn't like make me text back.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a thing, man. Yeah. Oh, man. Hey.
I didn't even get an LOL.
See, we're already in on this thing. You didn't even realize it. I want to welcome everybody back. It's Jake. Hey, welcome back to Good Company. It's another episode here today. I'm really excited about it. You guys kind of might have just heard us talking as we came in. Usually we start with this pre-roll intro, but I knew with the special guest that I had today, I would have to kind of catch him off guard. And what he was talking about was I asked him, this secret person I haven't introduced you to yet, if he would like to be on my podcast, because it would mean a lot to me if he would come on this podcast. And he really, I don't think, wanted to.
No, he said no, is what happened.
Is that what he said?
No, I don't. I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah. No. But I made him do it. And that man that is talking in the background that I have yet to introduce is the Italian Stallion, John Andolina. Everybody give it up for John Andolina.
Okay. Thank you. Happy
John
to be here.
John Andolina is here. A lot of y'all out there, friends of mine and people on the road that might have heard the name Ando before. Ando is, I believe, it's short for Andolina, correct?
Already with the short jokes.
Yeah. No, that wasn't even a short joke. Actually, I was just, but now that you've said that, I guess I should have said no pun intended. Yeah. But Ando, I mean, he is of a shorter stature. He brought that upon himself there when he said that.
Just figured I'd get out of the way.
Yeah, well, we got those out of the way. And dude, I'm not here today to talk to you about your height or mine, really, honestly. I'm here to talk to you about how awesome of a person you are. And that's what this is all about. I've been able so many times to have some pretty awesome people in here and talk to them about just life and really have no direction. Look, I walked in here with a LaCroix water. This one happened.
Did you get mixed berry?
I did, because it's the only one I had, and I got one of those packs at Costco where you you get like four different flavors at one time.
I'm a member at Costco now. We've had a big argument, Sam's versus
Costco. We have had a big argument. Before we get into all that, let me first tell everybody.
Before all that, let me preference with this is I am so out of my comfort zone with a microphone in my front of my face, so I'm going to preference that for everybody.
You are not my thing. Yeah,
so.
You definitely are probably out of your comfort zone right now.
Yeah, like when the telemarketer calls and said this call is being recorded for quality assurance, I shut down immediately.
Well, right? I can assure you that this is being recorded for quality assurance for all the people out there. Which, by the way, Keith Kaufman told me this morning right before we started this podcast that we're up to 80,000 listens already after a few weeks of starting this. So now that John Andolina has made it on the show, there's no telling what kind of numbers, I mean, are just going to go through the roof after this one.
It's probably about four more listens. Yeah, your mom, my mom, and my wife.
Oh, man. Well, your wife, that's a good story, too. We have lots of good stories to get to today. But back to what I was saying originally is the reason I wanted to have you on here, John, is because just the kind of guy you are, man. I've known you since college. I wanted to kind of intro people that everybody out there before has seen you on the road. John now is my manager. But it didn't start that way. It started as a guy I met in college when I walked into Southgate Dormitory, which is in Tallahassee. I was up there for summer semester. I went up early with intentions of playing golf on the golf team. And a lot of people throughout the years have somewhat misconstrued my story about going to college and playing golf on the golf team, which never happened. I actually went there with the intentions of walking on the golf team. My twin brother, Jared, who you know very well, who we spent a lot of years with, was on the tennis team there, full tennis scholarship. But I went up early and stayed at this dormitory, Southgate, it was this private dormitory. And I walked in to find out where my room was because I was there for summer golf camp. And John Andolina was the resident assistant behind the counter. And you helped me to my room, man.
I did.
You showed me where my room was. At the time, John tells a story that I doubt that it was a pink. I might have been a shade of pink. But
salmon.
I had salmon. I had a salmon golf shirt on. I was coming for golf camp, you know, and had my golf clubs on my shoulder. And that's how we met and became good buddies down in college. And with me not playing on the golf team, I started playing music and writing songs. you know, I mean, how many times you probably came and saw me play at Buckets. This place called Buckets.
Was awesome. There was this, it was just a huge bar, and their stage was above the bar, like elevated above the bar. Like it was hanging from the ceiling. So you're sitting there having a drink, and if you were to look up where normal TVs would be, at a like at a sports bar, there was a stage with a guy playing on it. It was
and
so
that guy
awkward.
Was me.
Whoever came up with that idea, like, hey, let's put the guy.
It was a brilliant idea.
Yeah,
it actually was a brilliant idea. It was this, and you know, that was at a time I was hustling in college because I just wanted to play for anyone and everyone, and was playing all kinds of cover songs and stuff. But there was a place across the street called Parrots, if you remember that. I mean, there'd be nights. We talked about this when Marty and Jared were on the podcast. But there were nights where I literally would be so excited to go up there and play, and I had my own little PA system. I'd plug the wires in and put it on sticks, you know, and get ready, and I'd sound check a song or two. It was usually like Dixieland Delight or something by Alabama. You know, the bartender and the waitress, one waitress would be in there, like, you know, kind of getting ready for what they were hoping to be a big night because I was promising all these people to come see me play. And then Ando would show up with, like, our buddy Rodrigo and Jared. And that'd pretty much be it for a while.
And Parrots served only beer, and I didn't drink beer in college, so I would have to go out to the car to get my own refreshments. So they didn't make a lot of money off of me.
No, and at the time, Ando, all he'd tell them what you drank in college. He's the only person in my life that does weird things like this. We'll get into that. You're a weirdo.
Yeah.
But he only in college drank Jaeger bombs. That's it. Nothing but Jaeger bombs. You would go into his college apartment or whatever, and he'd have all these empty Jaeger bottles on top of his refrigerator and like 150 cans of Red Bull in the refrigerator.
And for some reason, I was about 30 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
And,
Oh, man. And so...
But I was a dream to invite to parties because I never came to drink your alcohol. I would show up my own.
He did. But, you know? And you would always... But if we were going somewhere, it was always like, guys want to have a Jaeger bomb?
Yeah.
So back on track. So I'm playing music in these venues, and you guys are coming out and supporting me. And it was awesome, man, because you just... Even back then, you were just supporting me. And I remember the day that I wrote this song, 8 Second Ride. I wrote it with my buddy Eric Durant, who also lives in Tallahassee, and that song it's a platinum song, sold over a million copies, and I'll never forget that song I wrote literally when I was in college down there, and brought it to your dormitory because Ando, since he was the resident assistant, Ando had this like luxury dorm room. You know, it was like...
It was a three-bedroom apartment on top of, like, in the lobby. It was stupid.
Yeah, it was great. And
they paid me, too. What idiots.
So I took him the song, and I probably played that song about 100 times in his dormitory.
Mm-hmm.
And so this all leads to eventually me going one day to Ando and my twin brother and telling them that I'm moving to Nashville. And what did you think? I mean, honestly, like, I've never really asked you that. And I think that's why I was excited today to get you in here, after we've kind of prefaced how we met. And what, when I told you that I was going to move to Nashville to sing songs and try to make it in Nashville, honestly, like, what was your thought on that?
Well, I never thought we'd be sitting here talking on a podcast at any point. I was excited for you, man. I mean, it was inspiring to see you follow your dream and wanting to do it, and so many people sit back and want to do things and talk about how they want to do things, but they don't take the action. And for you to just pick up and say, hey, man, this is what I'm doing, it was, I think I was probably more nervous and had more anxiety than you did over it. But, I mean, it was exciting to see, man, and it was cool hearing the stories about, you know, you being in Nashville with not having any reference point of how the music industry worked, and you sit there and go, you know, I played this bar or something like that. It was like, wow. I mean, and then you... It's funny, you hear your song on the radio, which was 8 Second Ride, I think, was the first one that you did. And it was, you immediately think, wow, this guy made it. He's a superstar. And I think that's how a lot of people from smaller towns or hometowns, when they hear their friend or anything on the radio, they immediately think, well, this guy's made it. He's, you know, an absolute superstar.
Meanwhile, I was driving back and forth to Tallahassee on the weekends to play at bars and stuff and play it. Like, they would hire me when John was still down there running the dormitory at Southgate. They would literally hire me to come. I would come home from Nashville and bring a PA system and play for, like, the kids moving in the dormitory. And they would be giving out, like, place, like I do like a raffle during my set, you know, like, yeah, there's a free PlayStation if you guys just sign. Literally, I had a record deal or something. I think I was going back and forth doing that. But that's cool to hear you say that, because I've always wondered what some of my friends thought, if they just thought I was crazy at the time or what. But
no, we definitely thought you were crazy, but it was just exciting that
I,
you know,
looking
you were doing
back, looking back on it, I sometimes wonder if I was, but I'm glad, because, and that's why I bring that up, not so much to just to tout like this story of me moving up here, but I really believe, as many people that ask me all the time about how stuff like this happens, if you ask any person that does what we're doing as far as singing songs on the radio and playing, it didn't happen without moving at least here to chase a dream. And it may not happen, and no, everyone's story doesn't happen the same way. It all takes its own time. But as you said, and I think it's important for those out there listening, and that's all I want to do is promote, you know, people to understand the positivity of believing in themselves and pursuing, whether it's music, whether whatever it is, do it, because there's no guarantees, but if and when it does work out, because you chase something you love, the benefits of it and the happiness it brings to your life is amazing. I can attest to that. And as can you, I think, now, Ando, because I'm not the only one that took a risk in my life, and I wanted to bring this back around to you. Obviously, you're here today. So I moved to Nashville, and I'd been up there for a couple years probably at the time. After you left Southgate, the dormitory, you were literally working at a sandwich shop, right?
I was making sandwiches.
He was literally rolling sandwiches at a place called Roly Poly.
Right.
Yeah. So
I can make a mean sandwich if everyone wants one after this.
Which is so funny, because Ando doesn't eat anything. He doesn't like anything. If he orders a hamburger, it's just, I want the burger and the buns. I don't want anything on it. I don't want it. So he used to tell me how good these sandwiches were. But I said, how do you even know? Because you don't even eat it. How can you tell someone something's good and you don't eat it? He's like, because I make it. And oh, man.
We get an argument about hamburgers all the time about, you know, he gets everything on his hamburgers. So he thinks that his is better than mine, and I sit there and say, no, mine's better because I can enjoy the meat.
He's like, I can actually taste the meat because I don't have it covered in mustard and
avocado and, you know, fancy stuff that shouldn't go on a burger.
No. Oh, man. I ask, this isn't what we'll move on. I said we weren't going to have short jokes, and it really wasn't going to be a short joke, which is why I was going to preface it with that.
Listen, man, I didn't walk into this podcast thinking I was tall. So you calling me short just not opening my eyes to anything. I'm not going to walk out, and it's not going to be a...
So I'm in Nashville for a couple years, and I'm keeping up with you as you're down there. And there'd been once or twice Ando had come up, I think, to visit. Mm-hmm. And I kept telling him, I was like, man, you need to just move up here. And he's going to be great at whatever he does because he works hard. That's how, from the time I met him, that's what he did. He was working there at Southgate, and he was working hard. And I always admired that about you. But when I'd moved off, I saw how much Nashville had changed my life, just in happiness and being in a new place and with new people and just getting away from what you're used to, you know? And so I told him, I said, man, you need to come up here. Seriously, you can live up here at my place. I'm gone all the time. I'll have a friend here, you know? And so it wasn't, but I don't know. You just said one day, you're like, dude, I think I'm going to move up there, right?
Yeah, I think what it was is, you know, I was working a lot, and I was fortunate enough to save up a little bit of money to take some time off, and I just loved Nashville and, you know, had a place to stay, and so I moved up. I just threw everything in the back of my truck like you did, only I was probably the only person that moved to Nashville with everything in the back of my truck without a job that had no intentions of going into the music business.
Yeah, so. Which is why I wanted to have you on here, man, because I think this is so great, and this leads back to, once again, just take a chance sometime in your life. See where your life really... See, you have to take chances sometimes to allow life to open the doors that are just around the corner, but you might not see that door unless you make that corner turn. You know what I mean? Unless you walk around that corner, you might not ever see the door that's there. And I try to emphasize that because there's, even out on the road when I play shows and stuff, I tell the guys in the band, we all sometimes, we have to step outside of our comfort zones in order to see what we're capable of. And anyway, you did not have any intention to be in the music business. And quite frankly, man, as your friend, I didn't care. I mean, if we ended up working together, cool. But I was just wanting to get you up there because I could tell as your friend that you needed something different in your life. And so you moved to Nashville. You started hanging. You stayed at my place. We were roommates together for at least a couple years, I think.
Yeah.
And where this story really gets great is Ando is now married, and he has two beautiful children. He
95% sure they're both mine.
Yeah.
And, I travel a lot.
Yeah. So Ando, at the time when we were living in my little townhouse as roommates when he moved up, he was getting his hair cut like 3 or 4 times a week, seemed like. I mean, that's exaggeration, but you got your hair cut at least once a week.
I had a hair down to my shoulders at that point. And
yeah, you did. He had long hair. But if you don't mind, because I've been talking a lot, I want you to talk today. I feel like I've had to talk because you're not really one to open up on emotions and talk about things. But you need to go ahead and just tell us why you were getting your hair cut so much.
I went into one of these fancy places to get my hair. I was going in for a massage, and I'd never gone to a fancy place to get my hair
cut. This is great. The guy that moves up, no job, has no intention of doing anything. His day off, because he has no job, he's like, yeah, I'm going to go get a massage today. So he's going to get a massage.
And I figured I'd get a haircut, too, and I was sitting there waiting, and there was this girl that was amongst 4 or 5 other girls that were standing there, and I was going, man, that girl is beautiful. I hope she is the one that cuts my hair. And she walked over and said, hey, are you John? And I said, yes, I am. And then she just said it in this little Southern accent. And at that point, I was just hooked. And she cut my hair. And, you know, we talked for about 45 minutes because that's how long it took to cut my hair. And at that point, I started going in there every 2 weeks to get my hair cut. had no need to. I used to get my hair cut once every 6 months. And I was in there once every 2 weeks, which was getting really expensive. And it finally took about a year for me to ask her out.
Hang
on. She rejected me.
No, this is such a wrong story.
This is not wrong. You guys have this totally different story. Okay, we were throwing this big 4th of July party, and I said, hey, listen, very casual, because I didn't want to be that guy that asked out, you know, and make it
weird. This 4th of July party we're talking about, too, by the way, is a party that I used to do all the time. I need to bring this party back. But I used to rent houseboats out on Center Hill Lake on 4th of July, and we would get all of our buddies and friends, and we'd stay out on the houseboats for a few days. So he's telling me that he's met this girl that's cutting. Because I said, you're getting your hair cut a lot, you know? He's like, I met this girl that he just told you about it. She's unbelievable. I said, well, you should go and, like, ask her out. Just ask her out. So this happens.
So 4th of July party, I casually invited her and not make it awkward because you're going in a boat in front of a bunch of strangers. I said, hey, why don't you bring a friend that is not a guy with you? And, you know, we can
bring a non-guy friend.
Yeah, bring a friend that happens to sit down to pee, too. So she said, yeah, that sounds great. And I gave her my number, and I'm sitting there, and she never called. So we went and had the party and I would talk about this girl all the time, probably to the point where Jay got sick of it. And
I did. That's why I went in there.
So he walked in one day and said, hey, where's this girl, Melissa?
I'd never met her. I just heard him talk about her.
So they're like, okay. And, you know, he walks over to her and goes, hey, you blew my friend off. And then she goes and tells this other story, and he never really asked me out, all this other stuff. I wasn't obviously there.
No, what she said was, what had happened was this. I went in there, I had my hair cut, but I kind of saw this girl there that I was like, I think that's who John was telling me about. So I went over to her. So are you Melissa? She said, yeah. I said, my friend Ando, I think you blew him off. And she said, what are you talking about? I said, well, I think he asked you to come out for, I think it was her birthday or something.
Her birthday is July 5th.
Okay. So it was her birthday weekend. It's all coming back to me.
Who doesn't want to spend their birthday weekend with a bunch of strangers and some dude they hardly know?
Exactly.
How rude.
Well, I said, you should have come because it was a great time. And she said, well, he never gave me his number. He said I could get it out of this.
No, that's what it was. I said, hey, I'll give you my number. And she said, oh, it's in the system.
Or she said, you told. Okay. Well, either way.
This all has a happy ending.
A happy ending. Either way, this man is married to this woman now, and they have 2 beautiful children.
Yep.
I think how awesome that is.
And now I'm getting free haircuts for life.
Yeah, he's getting free haircuts for life. He's got 2 beautiful kids. And if he hadn't left Tallahassee and stopped rolling sandwiches and moving up and had the idea of getting a massage, you know what I mean? Like, what a great... What a happy ending of that. So now he's married, he's got 2 beautiful kids, and I've been able to see them both be born and watch you go from the guy drinking Jaeger bombs and just, like, you know, being the resident assistant at Southgate to being this dad that FaceTimes your kid every day and watches you grow up, man. I think it's so cool, and I've been so excited to have you in here talking about this because all these years later now, you're not just my buddy that we're hanging in college and then we're just roommates. You ended up, now we're, you're my manager of my whole world and my business. And you kind of assumed that role over time, because I want to get to this. People would always ask me, they're like, what does Ando do? Like, because he's always around, but what does he do? And I would say he does everything. He does absolutely everything. And they're like, what do you mean he does everything? And I said, I literally mean he does everything. And this is at a time where he wasn't really working with me. He was just out on the road hanging out and helping me out. And it got to the point where I said, man, like, I want to give you a job, because this thing is starting to take off a little bit, but I need you in my life for what you do. If you can think about it, Nando, what is the weirdest thing that you think you've done? I mean, still to this day, when I walk off stage, I don't wear shoes on stage. Like, I'll walk to the steps to get, and Ando'll have my shoes. He just kind of drops them on the floor at my feet. Like, and I'm always like, I never asked him to do that, but he's always like, my shoes are in a perfect place for me to walk off stage.
I practice at home.
Yeah, that's really funny, man. You're just like, here's your shoes. I've never been like, hey, Ando, when I walk off stage, dude, I want my shoes right there. those are the things right there that Ando does. That's why when I say he does everything. But you got to have a good story or something.
Man, I do, but some of them.
Here's a good one. Why don't you tell the story about the time that we got off the bus at whatever that fair was. We were playing some county fair somewhere, and we go to the gym every day. And so, Ando...
Yeah, I don't even. I mean, it was in Iowa or something like that. There was one of these places. There probably wasn't a gym within 20 miles. So I ran off and went to go get a contact and talked to the promoter. I said, "Hey, man, is there a gym around here, anyways?" And he goes, "Oh yeah, yeah. Hang on one second." And he runs off. And I'm thinking, "All right, well, this guy's gonna go get us a ride and everything." And he comes back with this guy and he goes, "Here you go, man." I go, "What?" And he goes, "Here's Jim." I was like, "Well, I mean, that is definitely a Jim. It's very nice to meet you, Jim. But you are not the Jim I'm looking for."
Those are the kind of things, man, that people don't realize, that you just every day on the road. So going from that, Ando, going from just kind of not really knowing you were going to be in the music business to being full-blown managing an artist in the music business, I'd like for you to, like, if you don't mind, man, just open up for a minute and talk, like, what has that been like? You know, I mean, to people out there that want to know what this world is like, how the music business is run, from a guy that it's not like you've lived in Nashville for years and watched up. It's like, I think a lot of people, when you look around what we do now, artist wise, a lot of them have friends that they're working with or people that have been with them for a long time. But it's someone you trust. It's someone that's got your back day and night and always has got your best interest. And that's what you are for me. And that's why I love you, man. But anyway, if you don't mind, for people out there, what's it like from your perspective?
Well, it's definitely not like a Motley Crue 1980s documentary that you probably watch on the road. There's not a lot of that going on. There's a lot of waiting around on the road. But I think that's an important thing, too, is, like you said, the trust factor, to where, you know, I go to work every day and I may be doing... you know, sitting down in a meeting with the sponsorship for the tour and then the next day I'm setting up a pickleball court on the road, you know, so it's all over the place. So it's great, because I never know what I'm going to do, but I know that whatever we're doing, we all are doing it for the benefit of everyone, you know, to make sure that, you know, you, one, are happy and doing everything you can, but in turn, everyone on the road is also benefiting and making sure that we're doing it's great. And everyone on the road, that's a great thing about it, is their family out there. Like, you got guys that have been with you for 10, 12 years from the very beginning, and there are people that love being out there, and they leave their families to go on the road and be part of another family. And
that's well said.
Everyone looks at each other that way, and it's just great. And the amount of personalities on the road is so eclectic. It's just so funny. I mean, you got one guy that is just so OCD that he has everything labeled, and you got another guy that doesn't know where his drumsticks are.
Which guy is that?
Yeah, that's, I can't imagine. But they get along great.
We had him on here already on this podcast.
That was a great one. You should have him just every week.
I should have him every week. Yeah. He should become a co-host.
Yeah. Yeah, he's fantastic. But
I mean, honestly, you're not going to hurt my feelings. Do you love being on the road? Do you like the, is there parts of the business that you...
I'm glad you asked. I have something to tell you. I quit. So this is my 2 weeks' notice.
Great. You guys heard it here first. Yeah.
No, I love it. And that's what, you know, that there are hard things about, you know, leaving your family and missing birthdays and stuff like that. But it makes it all worth it because you know at the end you're doing everything that you can for your family to make, you know, them better. And I have a unbelievably beautiful and understanding wife.
Yes, he does.
And I hope she's listening. That's important too. It's just you're doing everything for the family at home. And, you know, you have bad days and everything like that, but then you come home and you see a little 3-year-old running across and so excited to see you, and that just changes everything. And I think that's what's great too is
you can look around at everyone else on the road too, and we love what we do out there, and it's what helps, you know, support our lives. But you also can see, I look at my other guys in the band that are walking around outside, you know, thank God for FaceTime. You can just see them FaceTiming their kid and walking around, and it's like you said, like I think people have this idea that it's like Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses, we're out there, you know, tipping up bottles of Jack Daniels, and which I've seen you do a few times.
We're trying to recreate that, but it's not catching on.
But we, I think we have a lot of responsibility, not just to our families and our friends and ourselves for how hard we've worked, but most importantly, I think it's our responsibility to the fans out there every day and the promoters and the people that are paid for us to come play shows, that when we show up, that we do what we came to do, and that's entertain people, make sure they have an awesome Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. And when we leave there, we make sure they want us to come back. And I know I can't do that with just music. I have to do that with the people that are around me as well. Guys like yourself, Ando, and the way you treat people is the way that I would want to be treated and what the way I want others to be treated. So I appreciate everything that you do out there.
Yeah, and I'll also say, you know, when we first started doing this, or when I first started doing this, and we talked about me coming on the road and working and everything, I don't know if you remember this or not, but I said, hey, man, I'm in. I'll do it. But if you start being anyone different than who you are, if you start getting a big head and you're not the same person that I met in college, I'm out. And you to this day are the exact same person that you were in college. And I think that's a unbelievable comment.
I don't know if that's good.
Well, you know, parts of it are. But, I mean, I think that's a huge compliment to you just to sit there and say, hey, listen, this guy hasn't changed. And you got a lot of great things going on right now, but out of this entire month with, you know, the single release, the tour announcement, everything that's so great that everyone's like, man, look at all this stuff doing. I got to imagine that probably the thing that you're looking most forward to is going to your daughter's school tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's the crazy thing is you have all these fantastic things going on, and you're, like, looking forward to the most is being a dad.
Yeah.
And going to see your daughter and having donuts with her, which you probably won't eat because you're going to the gym twice a day.
Yeah, I won't. That's another thing. That's the sacrifices, right? I should. It's my daughter. I should have a. I'm going to daddy-daughter donut day tomorrow. Actually, tonight. We're leaving tonight.
Yeah, leaving tonight.
I've got to get down there early enough so I can make sure she stays with me for the night and I take her to school in the morning and it's daddy-daughter donut day. But you're right, man. I think about that often, about how lucky I am to have a lot of great things going on. But there's nothing greater than your kid being my. She doesn't care if I got the most added single, by the way. Woo! Woo! Got the most added single on country radio this week with I Was Jack and You Were Diane. So thanks to everybody at country radio and all my fans out there and everyone that listens. And I was saying earlier, walking in here, that stuff like that does not happen without a team of people around you. I can sing the song, I can go out there and perform it, but without guys like Ando and Keith Gale and the people at Big Loud and everybody that's helped me promote this single, I couldn't do it, man. And so that's the reason that, you know, this sounds like a big jarbled conversation, but here we are talking about good company again. You know, people around you, the kinds of people that you flourish as a human being because of. They lift you up, and that's what you are, man. You're good company, John Andolina. Well, we've had some funny moments over the years, and
I think also too about our relationship.
Listen
though,
to him, the guy that doesn't talk a lot. Because, he's opening up now.
Yeah, because I think this is interesting too. That made me think when I was like, "You're going to the gym twice a day." I think one thing that people probably don't realize are you and I are probably the most competitive people with each other.
Oh yeah.
So I get up and I see Jake on the iCal that says, you know, workout 6:30 a.m.
Yeah.
And I'm going, well, I'm getting up at 5:30 then. How you like that?
Yeah, the best part is, though, and I'm already leaving the gym in the morning because Ando and I live on the same side of town, and we have to take the same road to the gym. He actually takes his kid to school in the morning. And so I'll already be coming back from the gym when Ando's taking his kid to school in the morning.
And seeing that, though, makes me go, all right, going hard today.
That's
but
right.
Just with everything, man. I mean, there's been PlayStation controllers broken. There's been wagers lost. It's
pickleball matches.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of fire of competition that I think that keeps the day exciting.
So. But I think, again, you know, it's the people around you that push you to want to be better and makes you, you know, is the kind of people that you need around you. So I wish you the best of luck to your Buffalo Bills this season. If you've ever seen Ando on the road, he's always got his Buffalo Bills hat on. And speaking of Buffalo Bills, I want to do everybody out there that can take a minute to say a good prayer for our friend Jim Kelly.
JK12.
Who's battling cancer again, and he's been in our thoughts. Ando and I had the pleasure, I think before we get out of here, can we tell this story before we get
absolutely,
out?
Absolutely, man.
This is something, what a great way to finish this out. First off, again, Jim, we're all thinking about you, buddy. You are an inspiration to so many people, and I, outside of only kind of knowing your stature as a quarterback, especially through guys like Ando here being a huge fan, I didn't know much about you until this situation of what we're going to tell you about now. Ando and I were so amazed to be invited as fans of sports and football, nonetheless, to Peyton Manning's retirement party out in LA a couple years ago. And not to sit here and drop names now, but this is something that is just, we both pinch ourselves. We're not saying this to be arrogant or braggadocious. We're saying this because this is something that we will remember not only as friends for our whole lives, but just because of how cool this moment was. And to go out there, to be invited, to be a part of watching Peyton and his friends celebrate his induction into the Hall of Fame, it was pretty neat.
It was a retirement party.
Or excuse me. Yeah, it was just retirement
party. Maybe we were nice enough that Peyton will invite us back for the Hall of Fame party.
Yeah, it was, the retirement party. I got to think of how cool it was. Either way, being there and seeing that, we were sitting at the bar, and Bill Cowher, longtime great coach of the Steelers, was sitting there, and he noticed Ando's, as usual, Buffalo Bills hat. He's like, oh, man, you're a Bills fan? He's like, you know, Jim Kelly's going to be there tonight. And Ando's eyes lit up like, no way, this is going to be – are we not only here for this awesome event, we can just meet Jim Kelly, and Bill Cowher sitting here talking to us, having a beer. So we said, we're getting ready to go over. We have a car service wherever you want to ride. I think Bill Cowher was going to get an Uber.
Yeah, he was going to Uber it over.
He was going to Uber. So we're like, hey, jump in with us. So Bill Cowher and his beautiful wife, V, they rode with us over there. And we get there, and Ando and I are kind of just, we felt like fish out of water, man, because there's all these people around that we just are so enamored by. And next thing you know, we see Jim Kelly across the room, and I was like, Ando, you're going to say hi to him? You got to say hi to him.
So
he's like, nope, I can't. I will, you know, I can't. So after an hour or so goes by, I think it was Bill Cowher came back by again. He's like, did you meet him yet? And he's like, Jim, come here. And so next thing you know, Ando and Jim Kelly. Ando, who grew up, you got to tell
him. I had a poster of Jim Kelly on my wall, and it was like him with a violin case. And he was a football inside of it and said, Machine Gun Kelly. On my wall. Him and Thurman Thomas were the two guys that I had on my wall. So this was a childhood icon to me. And, you know, we have the opportunity to meet so many cool people. But this was like...
Yeah, you know, and for those out there that don't know this, Jim Kelly is an unbelievable quarterback, Hall of Fame quarterback. But he took the Buffalo Bills, and you saw this as a kid, which is why this is also funny, because I've watched Ando struggle with this as long as I've known him, is that they went to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row and lost every single time.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
And then the Tennessee Titans, actually, in the Music City Miracle, kept...
It was a forward pass.
Ando still says it was a forward pass, which, by the way, is the other great story.
Yeah.
So we go back to this party. We got to wrap this up here. We get back to this party where we were. You meet Jim Kelly. We hang out. He becomes such a nice guy. We're talking for a while. Ando and I, thanks to our friends at Cessna, were flying us. We had to get back. We made a special trip to L.A. because we had to go to Canada the next day. Mm-hmm. Ironically enough, our flight, we got this flight from Cessna. They were going to fly us from L.A. to Buffalo the next morning so we could cross the border. Well, I looked at Ando and said, hey, you should ask Jim Kelly if he wants to fly back to Buffalo with us because we've got the plane. And that would be just, how cool would that be? He's like, I mean, I don't know. So we go, hey, Jim, you want to fly back? He says, heck yeah. So he and his beautiful wife, Jill, got on the plane with us. And it was just Jim Kelly, Ando, his wife, Jill, myself, and Greg Fowler. And we had a 4.5 hour flight. And he gave us all the greatest stories in the world, told us about life, told us about what he'd been through. He'd already gone through cancer once. He lost a son at an early age. And just the, watching John and Jim Kelly in a jet flying from L.A. to Buffalo, to me, was one of the most fulfilling things in life to see how, why did that happen? You know what I mean? It happened because I took this weird chance in college and told him I was leaving. And then it happened because he took a chance. And, like, you know what I'm saying? And I know that it sounds like I said we were just rambling on here. But I truly, like, it's moments like that that I thought were so unbelievable and how great of a guy Jim was. Ando always keeps, you can see it right there. He's got his money clip right there. Ando always keeps this rubber band or like a hair tie around his money and doesn't use a wallet. And Jim Kelly noticed it on the plane. And he's like, give me that thing. And he took it off and threw it on the ground. And Ando had had that thing for like, he's really weird about stuff like this. You'd had that same rubber band or something for 10 years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, and he took his wallet clip off, Jim Kelly, his Buffalo Bills wallet clip, and put it over Ando's wallet clip and gave it to him.
Yeah, but if Jim was a real nice guy, he would have put some money in there too. So, you know. Well, but yeah, Jim and Jill and their entire family are probably some of the most down-to-earth, nicest people, and we're definitely thinking about and praying them.
Yeah,
praying
we're thinking
them.
So about they're, you guys.
They're good people.
All the Kelly family and the Kelly Nation and Buffalo Bill Nation. Mm-hmm. Dude, thanks for coming on here today. We could talk for hours, and I hope that everybody out there is loving these conversations as much as I am. And this gives me a chance, really. We ride a bus together every day, all the time, and travel, and we don't really ever reflect and talk like this, you know.
You want to do it on the plane tonight?
yeah, we could. All right, we'll play cards or something. But dude, thank you, man. I love you, dude. I appreciate everything you've ever done for me. Our management company is called Good Company, and this podcast is called Good Company. You are Good Company. Sean Anthony, Keith Kaufman in here again, once again helping us with this. Y'all are good company. Everybody out there, thanks so much. We love you. We'll see you next time. And I'm Jake, and we'll catch you on Good Company next time.
See ya.
Wolfie ya.